Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Bhagavad Gita, it is second chapter, text number 13. That's on page number 83. This is a verse, they recited this verse yesterday. So we're again going to comment on this verse. Venosmin yatade Komaram yavanam jara Tatade antara praptir Word for word, Deina of the embodied, Admin in this, Yata as Dehe in the body, Komaram boyhood, Yavanam youth. Jara, old age. Tata, simile. Deha, antara, of transference of the body. Prapti, achievement. Tira, is sober. Tatra, thereupon. Na, never. Muyati is deluded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Please repeat. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Omargina Tramdasya Jananjana Slakaya Sakshu Mitam Jena Tasme Shigarinamaha Sri Shaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Danti Swapanantikam Sri Krishna Shaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dreta Gradhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So we'll go through this purport very slowly and try to cover all the points Prabhupada makes. Purport. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body at every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit, soul, is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body, since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual. There's no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least in heavenly bodies, for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause for lamentation. So this section is called Jnana Yoga. The Bhagavad Gita, this chapter is called The Contents of the Bhagavad Gita Summarized, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita has been the contents of the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti has also been given as the contents for the complete text. So this is Jnana, spiritual knowledge, being discussed here. And it starts with verse 11 and goes to verse 30. Because Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight and because there is no death for the soul. And not to worry about the body. So 11 and 12 were the beginning of this section. 11 said, the Supreme Personality of God said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither the living nor the dead. Never was a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future, so any of us cease to be. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul simply passes to another body at death. A cerebral person is not bewildered by such a change. So Srila Prabhupada lectured on this verse in Los Angeles, New York, Buffalo, and Los Angeles extensively, where most of them were 1 hour in the early days in the movement. Because this is a important verse, often quoted verse. And in this verse, we are talking about individuality of the soul. Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita was written, or the Mahabharata was written by Srila Vyasadeva, and as a supplementary to the Vedas. And the Mahabharata was meant for those people who aren't accustomed to hearing philosophy or like to hear stories. And in the Mahabharata, in the fifth chapter, is the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, this science of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes they make recordings of Bhagavad Gita and show it on television or different places, when they don't really have an understanding. They show them all apart. When they get to the section of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna were there in the middle of the battlefield. Krishna and Arjuna had a conversation which didn't make any sense. And then Krishna showed Arjuna's universal form, and then the battle began. So they really didn't have any understanding of the Bhagavad Gita or the importance of the Bhagavad Gita. It was just part of the whole show. But for those of us in this Krishna conscious movement and all over the world, the Bhagavad Gita is being distributed widely because it is the ABC of spiritual life. Gives the understanding, gives knowledge that other religions cannot give. So it says in the Gita Mahatmya there should be one book, one religion, and that one book is the Bhagavad Gita, and one religion is Krishna consciousness. Because when people read the Bhagavad Gita and they have some sukriti from past life, it makes sense to them. When you read other scriptures and other books that don't make sense. When Prabhupada was in America, they interviewed him and they asked him, "Do you think Christianity has failed the people?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I think so." And because Christianity failed the people, the churches were lying empty, and therefore we were able to buy so many buildings and turn the churches into Hare Krishna temples. And the reason the churches failed the people, because they couldn't give the people anything that was satisfactory, any knowledge that was satisfactory, that made any sense, and gave people, could take people away from the idea that life is meant for sense gratification and no other meaning. Blamara says in the Te Vidu Sarvagati Hi Vishnu, the goal of life is to attain to Lord Vishnu, to go back home, back to Godhead, not to stay in this material world. So the whole world is going on under false names and false forms. Everyone's thinking that I'm this body and I'm from this country and this is my name and this is and my family and everything else is simply under the illusion. But here it says that we go through different changes from boyhood to youth to old age and death. And no scientist, no doctor can change that. They can think they can cure. They can cure some diseases, or they can put people on life support machine to keep them people thinking that their relative, their loved one is going to survive or live for some time longer. But it's a cheating process that to get a lot of money, and because that person is not going to walk out of the hospital once he's on the life support machine, means his body is ready to leave his body at any time. So it's artificial way of keeping the body going, and usually the person is in a coma or unconscious. And they can keep the body going for some time, but it's artificial. And the soul may or may not be there, but eventually they have to pull out the plug, and then it's the end. So no one can stop this birth, disease, old age, and death. And these are the real problems of life. There's no other problems that face everyone, whether you come from America or China or India or Russia. Everyone is a spirit soul, individual spirit soul. And it's like the sun. The sun is shining in America, the sun is shining in India, the sun is shining in China. But it's not an Indian sun, American sun, or Chinese sun. It is just the sun is the sun. So the soul is there in everybody, but people are under the illusion, the false designations, thinking ahankara, that due to false ego, that I'm this material body, and that everything belongs to me. Amameti, I, me, mine. I'm this body, this is my family, and these possessions are all mine. But at the time of birth, you have nothing. You come with nothing. And then you can spend your whole life accumulating so many things. But at the time of death, you can't take anything with you. So what is the use of wasting your whole life trying to accumulate so many things to try to be happy, to try to be comfortable, but at the time of death, nothing goes with the body. Nothing goes with the soul. The body remains there. The person who may be lamenting that my father is dead or my mother is dead, but the body is there. The person that was in that body, the soul was in that body, you never really knew that person. And then someone is so active, his whole life suddenly becomes inactive. So here it's describing that the soul goes to another body, and not that there's nothing after life. Most people have this misconception that there's nothing after life. So therefore, I can live my life and get as much sense gratification, much pleasure as I can, because you only go around one time, and then you die, and then that's it. But that's not the conclusion. That is not the true understanding. True understanding is that you have this life to live, and according to the way you live this life, then the soul will go to its next destination, its next body, according to your karma. Not that you don't exist. Krishna said, I spoke this, Krishna said that there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, and never shall we cease to be. So that includes Arjuna, everyone. But there's a difference here. We should understand that out there is the individual soul, and that Krishna is the original soul. Brahma Samhita says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nandade Govindam Sarvakara Karnam. The Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the original person. It says that Krishna, God, is the one supreme person, no one equal to or greater than him. Everybody has a father, and his father has a father, and his father has a father. So he traces back to the original father. Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratapita, that I am the seed-giving father. To think that there's no one else in control, that there's no God, and that there's a living entity simply working under the control of the material nature, is illusion. And to think that the material body is just a combination of chemicals. The scientists are claiming that life is just a combination of chemicals. So we say, we'll give you all the chemicals to bring someone back to life. It's like your cell phone, when the battery runs down, you put the charger on it, and it comes back to life. So if that's that can be done, so why can't they make a charger that put it in your body someplace and recharge your body so you can come back to life? But they can't do that because the soul doesn't stay with the body. Once a person dies, the soul goes to his next destination. So they can't bring a dead body back to life. Of course, in certain cases, like Parasaram's father, the wife of Parasaram, she went to bring water for the puja, and she got, she saw some demigods, she committed adultery in her mind, and she went to bring the water. So when she came back late, Parasaram's father could understand what had happened. So Parasaram's father ordered his sons to kill your mother, and they refused. So he told Parasaram, kill your mother and kill your brothers. So Parasaram did that, but he knew that his father would be pleased and give him a boom. So his father gave him a boom that you can take any boon you want. So he said, okay, you bring back my mother and brothers without them knowing that they had died. So this is a special case where someone can bring back a dead body by mystic power. In the seventh canto, we read how Maya Dhanava had put the demons in a pool of water, and they also came back to life. But otherwise, by material science, it's not possible to bring a dead body back to life. So, anyway, the main point here is that Arjuna is lamenting because he has to kill Drona and Bhishma and the family on the other side of on the battlefield, so he doesn't want to fight. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is meant to get Arjuna out of illusion and make him understand that because Krishna wants him to fight, and he should do his duty as a Kshatriya, and he should fight and not be lament for the change of body. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, the Kazi sent his men to stop the Sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya organized a civil disobedience movement, and with all the people in Navadvip, he had Kirtan and marched on the Kazi's house. So the Kazi became afraid and hid himself in one room on the top of his house. So Lord Chaitanya called the Kazi down and asked him, you know, why you didn't come to receive me. He said, well, you were in an angry mood, so I was afraid to come down. So Lord Chaitanya said, but I have two questions for you. One question is, why in your Muslim religion do you kill your mother and father? And because the cow is like your mother, because the cow gives milk, which is a life-giving substance. And the bull is like your father. The bull tills the land, gives us grain, so the bull is like your father. So why are you killing your mother and father in your Muslim religion? But the Qazi counteracted that and said, no, we are doing that, but you also do that in your Hindu religion when you sacrifice an animal. Lord Chaitanya defeated that, said, no, we sacrifice an old animal, and when the sacrifice is performed properly, that old animal is rejuvenated and gets a new body. You're not actually killing. So there's no need for Arjuna to lament for the old body of Bhishma and Drona, because they were going to get new bodies in some form or another, but not that they become void. But of course, it's natural that we lament when someone dies, especially the spiritual master or some advanced devotees. But we should know that actually it's for someone who has an old body, to get a new body is a benediction, because then they can take the Krishna consciousness again if they haven't gone to the Vaikuntha world, where no one comes back, where everyone has a spiritual body. So in this way, this purport is defeating Arjuna's different reasons why he doesn't want to fight. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul and the super soul in nature, both material and spiritual, is called Dhira, or sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the changes of body. So here, Dhiras Tatjana Muyate. Dhiras means sober. It's common nowadays that people go to drink alcohol or take drugs, become intoxicated. And when you're sober, intoxicated, you lose your good sense, you lose your intelligence, and you do crazy things. But a sober person is one who has perfect knowledge. He knows that there's the individual soul, the super soul, and nature. It's only due to ignorance that people have any different understanding. So, the Dhira, the sober person, like Srila Prabhupada was a sober person. When he went to, was going to America, they advised him, some people advised him, you have to wear pants and shirt and eat with knife and fork and spoon when you go to America. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going there to learn from them, I'm going there to teach them. The Prabhupada didn't compromise on the philosophy, didn't compromise on the principles. He went to America dressed as a sannyasi, which no one knew anything about spiritual life or sannyasi at that time, and eventually he started to form his movement and get followers and introduce the four regulated principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. And we're hearing this morning that this four regulated principles are there for both the men and women. And brahmacharis, sannyasis, and those with brahmacharis, vanapras, and sannyasis, for them there's no question of sex life. Only in household life is sex life allowed, but only once a month at the proper time for becoming God-conscious children and not otherwise. Some devotees may say that you could have as much sex life as you want in household life, it doesn't matter. But that's not what it said in the Bhagavatam this morning. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm sex life according to religious principles. So whether you're a brahmachari or a grihastha, you're a brahmachari. If someone gets married, he also has to practice celibacy and is not all right for him to have illicit sex. But if they can't follow strictly, Prabhupada said, a household ashram, the grihastha ashram, advancement's very slow or next to nil. So it's difficult, because we also read a couple of days or yesterday or the day before, when you put the butter in the fire, you can't sell it not to melt. So when men and women are together, there's always a chance that there's going to be agitation and there's going to be sex life. But those who are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness and have taken initiation and taken a vow should follow this program, no illicit sex, only at the time of procreation to get a God-conscious child. And then once the child after 9 months, once a child is born, then they have to wait another 6 months if you want to have another child, but not that you can have sex life as much as you want. This is not Grihastha life, this is Grihamedi life. This is called legalized prostitution, probably called legalized prostitution. So the Grihasthas have to be very careful to follow strictly if they want to make advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, their chanting, anything they do, will not fructify. They don't get the full benefit of Krishna consciousness by committing offenses to the holy name and to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name is one of the 10 offenses. So therefore, everybody in this movement should try to be sober and understand these things, that I'm Brahmasmi, I'm not this body, and that Jivara Subhoi Nitya Krishna Das, the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart, and there's the individual soul and the super soul, who accompanies the individual soul from one body to the next, witnessing the activities of the individual soul. And Mother Nature is also there. And when you say a mother, then there must be a father. So the father is Krishna, who, or Mahavishnu, who impregnates the pradhan, it's called pradhan, the unmanifested material energy. And then the Mahatapa is created. And then there are 24 elements described by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the different elements which make up this body. And 24 elements, and 25th element is time, and 26 is the soul. So our time is part, so there's 24, 25, 26, so different opinions about how many elements there are, but they all have to do with the body, not the soul. But the soul is the life force in the body. When the consciousness is, when there's consciousness in the body, then the soul is there. As soon as the consciousness leaves the body, then the soul is no longer there. And that means death. So here, Krishna is telling Arjuna that he shouldn't lament for the death of anyone, because they're going to get a new body and go through this same process. And when you have an old body, there's so much trouble. When you have a young body, there's less trouble, and you think you're having a good time, and you think you can be happy. But the older you get, different things start happening. Your teeth start going, your eyes start going, your ears start going, your digestion starts going, everything starts to deteriorate. It's like an old car. When you have an old car, you have to keep it running, so you have to keep replacing the parts and changing the parts and fixing it until it doesn't run anymore. So an old body's like that. You have to tolerate all the inconveniences. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, even in his old age, he told the devotees, "Don't never take me to a hospital or doctors," because he wanted to die naturally. He didn't want to have to die with tubes in his body, like one of his godbrothers. So death is inevitable. Death cannot be changed. Death cannot be stopped. And that we've already discussed. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the supreme cleavable or changeable against the principles of the supreme souls being unchangeable, as confirmed in the Gita. The fragmental portion of the supreme exists eternally, sanatan, and are called sara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. So, Srila Prabhupada came to America, Devastation Shunyavari, Paskachade Satarni, to defeat Mayavadi and what is philosophy. Most people are in the opinion that everything is one. Even when we have programs, we invite public leaders and great politicians to come, they speak some praise or something, and then they say at the end, and it's all one, let us all become one. But that's the Mayavadi philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you hear Mayavadi philosophy, then you're doomed. So, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, he had taken sannyas, and he was chanting and dancing in the streets. So the Mayavadi sannyasis were criticizing him, saying that this man is just a sentimentalist, and there's no place in Benares for such a person. And because the duty of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. So, Lord Chaitanya was chanting and dancing because he had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement under the orders of his spiritual master. So, Parakasananda Saraswati was the leader of the Mayavadis in Benares. At that time, that was the seat of the Mayavadis. So they called Lord Chaitanya, and they asked Lord Chaitanya why he was chanting and dancing, why he wasn't studying Vedanta like a sannyasi should do. But Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master called me a fool, and therefore I can't study Vedanta. I can only chant and dance. Then they had a meeting, and Prakasananda Lord Chaitanya discussed the real meaning of a Vedanta philosophy, Vedanta Sutra, and the Mayavadis agreed that their philosophy was imaginary. They were following the teachings of Shankaracharya. Lord Shiva was sent as Shankaracharya to teach Mayavadi philosophy, to bring people who were Buddhists at that time, to bring people back to the Vedas. But this Shankar philosophy, this Mayavadi philosophy, it doesn't make sense. And Lord Chaitanya defeated their philosophy and converted them all into becoming Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada repeatedly, in all his books, defeats Mayavadi, philosophy. So one Mayavadi person or someone who's Brahman realized he may even understand that I'm not this body, is what's being said here. Someone may become Brahman realized, but that's not sufficient. Just understand I'm not this body. It says that one may come even rise up to the level of Brahman realization because his intelligence is not pure. He will fall down again in the material world because he hasn't taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, it's a temporary arrangement. So in all cases, Mayavadi philosophy doesn't really make any sense. But people follow it because they have no other understanding of something better, or they haven't read Srila Prabhupada's books, where he constantly defeats the Mayavadi's conclusions. So several times, Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri. Then he spent 6 years traveling in South India, and he met so many different kinds of people, Mayavadis and Buddhists, and he converted them all into Vaishnavism, or to the philosophy of Achintabheda Vedatattva, that we're simultaneously one and different. There's not all one, and you don't merge into the Brahman effulgence, because merging in the Brahman effulgence is not satisfying. the merge in the Brahmana falls is some sat chit, but there's no ananda. It says the bliss that one gets by merging the Brahman is like the water in the calf's footprint, and compared to devotional service, which gives one 10 million times more bliss. So there's Brahman Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. And Krishna says that Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, that I'm the source of the Brahman. But this is not the final destination. To be Brahman realized is a only the beginning. But when one practices Krishna consciousness, he automatically realizes Brahman Paramatma and Bhagavan at the same time. He doesn't have to go through the different stages. So people like the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami, Nainu Gendras, they were Brahman realized. They were not Mayavadis, but they were not fully realized. But when the four Kumaras smelled the Latona Tulsi leaves offered to Lord Vishnu, then they had a change of heart and became Vaishnavas, became devotees of Krishna, and have the four, there's Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya. So in this way, if one is a Brahman realized person, he doesn't have a service attitude. And so just to understand I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul is not enough. We have to understand what the activities of the soul should be. And this is called Sambandhan Gyan, or establishing our relationship with Krishna, and then Abhideya, finding out how to engage in service and pranojana, complete perfection. So here in Vrindavan, we had three temples. Madan Mohan represents Sambandhan Gyan. Govindaji temple represents Abhideya. And Gopinath temple represents Purojana. So anybody who is visiting Vrindavan should visit those three temples and pray that we can come give up the past, come back, give up the anarthas and practice. Now we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, but when we practice Raganuga Bhakti, then we can understand that we have a relationship with Krishna and that we have service and that we some service, either a cowboy or gopi, whatever it may be, to the Lord, and that the whole Krishna cosmic movement is meant to bring people to purojana or complete perfection of that of the gopis or love of God. It's like the six Goswamis, they were sent by Lord Chaitanya to stay in Vrindavan and discover the whole lost holy places and to write books. So they wrote books, Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, wrote books for the benefit of all human society, books on the Krishna, on devotional service, on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada translated these books, Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srila Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, translated all these books. So people will not be misled and have misconceptions about what is truth. Krishna says, "Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tafataha." What's that? Natime so Arjuna. When I don't understand the truth of my appearance and activities does not take birth again. So in the Krishna consciousness, we're giving the absolute truth. And in the 15th chapter, it says that foolish living entity, under the spell of the three modes of material nature, cannot understand how he accepts his body or quits his body. But one who has eyes of knowledge, jnana sakshus, can see all this clearly. The endeavoring transcendentalists can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and not engaged in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, even though they may try to. So the scientists may try to study all the atoms in the universe, may try to make so much research to understand things, but they can never come to the right conclusion because their mind is not developed and not engaged in self-realization. So we don't have to research anything because Srila Vyasadeva did all the research work and compiled all the Vedic literatures and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other Vedic literatures, which give all the information necessary that one has to know about the material and spiritual worlds. And if you read the fifth canto, you can get an understanding of how the universe is structured, and all over the Srimad Bhagavatam is so much knowledge is there about the what's what and who's who. We don't have to do any research. Simply have to read Prabhupada's books. But they say that this is mythology and they don't accept these things because they're sinful people. People in the mode of passion, ignorance, are engaged in sinful activities, sense gratification, cannot understand these things. So one has to come to the mode of goodness. And we can come to the mode of goodness by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. So this is Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name. Harinam, 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 Eva Kebalo, Gluna, Stavina, 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 Gatiran, Yata. And if you can chant without offense, chant the pure name, Namabhas, there's Namaparad, Namabhas, Nam, and Shudanam. If you chant Shudanam, everything was revealed. If one has firm faith in the Guru and Krishna, then everything becomes revealed to that person. So it's a matter of faith, and it's a matter of practicing sincerely Krishna consciousness and chanting 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day and trying to avoid the 10 offenses. In this way, we'll not become into illusion and fall back into Maya again. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness, stay for some time, but then they're lured, fall back into Maya. For some reason or another, they lose their taste for Krishna consciousness. They either commit offenses or have material desires or something. The devotional service is considered like a razor's edge. And when a man is shaving his face, he has to be attentive. If he's a little inattentive, he will cut himself. In the same way, Krishna consciousness is a simple process, but it's not so easy. So we have to be attentive and try to carefully follow all the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti until we become pure enough to practice, come to a higher level, and come from the Kanistha platform to the Majjhima platform to Uttama Adhikari. So Kanistha means neophyte devotee, and most of us are neophyte devotees, so we have to practice strictly. And when you come to the Uttama Adhikari, or the highest level, then you're under the protection of Yoga Maya. And the Yoga Maya doesn't let the conditioned soul, a Uttama Adhikari, fall into Maya. But the Majjhima Adhikari, the Kanistha Adhikari, can still fall into Maya, but less chance for the Majjhima Adhikari. But Kanistha Adhikari, when we become a devotee, we're declaring war on Maya. So we're saying to the material energy that we don't want to be under the control of material energy. We want to be under the control of Krishna. So when we do that, then Maya will test you in so many ways. So if you're sincere, if you want to serve Krishna, then material energy will help you serve Krishna. But if you want to disturb Krishna, Maya, then you again can go back into the material world. And has happened. There's so many cases where people have taken to Krishna consciousness, but somehow or other they weren't strict in their sadhana, and they again were lured by Maya and left the movement. So the remaining portion of this purport, I'll read that. These fragmental portions are eternally so. Even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to super soul, who is present in each and every individual body known as Paramatma. He's different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, reflection represents both the sun and moon and stars also. The stars are compared to the living entities, and sun and moon to the Supreme Lord. Individual's fragmental supreme soul is represented as by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, "Both you and I spoke this message to the sun god 120 million years ago. Both you and I were there. We can remember, but you cannot." So if Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by illusory energy, then there's no need of one being the instructor and the other instructed. Such instructions would be useless because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authorized instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is superior in position to the living entity. Arjuna, who is forgetful soul, deluded, a forgetful soul deluded by Maya. So there's the Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Beach. The time of initiation, you take instruction. Take initiation from the Guru. The Guru has to be advanced in Krishna consciousness so that he can also help this individual, his disciple, make advancement in Krishna consciousness. If one isn't there are many people who claim to be gurus and cheating people. In this world, there's two kinds of people. Those who are cheated, those who want to be cheated, and those who are cheating. So there are cheating gurus who claim to be Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. They can show some magic and gather so many followers. But they can't really instruct the people properly. And so the result's not the same as a bona fide spiritual master. So the bona fide spiritual master must come in the line of disciple succession. There's four sampradayas: the Brahma sampradaya, Shiva sampradaya, Lakshmi sampradaya, and sampradaya from the four Kumaras. So the spiritual master must be in one of those sampradayas, and he must be conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness. And that's why he can accept disciples and train them in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Arjuna was not a conditioned soul, but he was a Nitya Siddha, liberated soul. But Krishna, by his arrangement of Yoga Maya, put him in this condition of confusion and delusion, so he constructed the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, so that this Bhagavad Gita can be instructed to all the whole human society. In the same way, Maharaj Parikshit was put in to do illusion, and he put a dead snake around the neck of a sage, and he was cursed by the sage's son to die in 7 days, and Sukadeva Goswami came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. In both cases, the Nityasiddha, eternally liberated soul, was put into illusion by the arrangement of Krishna so that these literatures can be spoken and this knowledge can be given for the general benefit of all human society. Bhart Bhumite Hoy Manishya Jamajara Jama Satakara Parupakara, that those who are especially born in India should take this Krishna consciousness, make their life successful, and Parupakara, do good for others. So we should all take the Krishna consciousness and preach this message to the world so that people will not be deluded and think that sense gratification is the only goal of life and that there's nothing after life and there's no door and there's nothing after death and they don't know anything about the soul or the super soul. And everyone thinks other religions that I have my God, you have your God, and I have, and but it's not like that. Krishna's the one, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. He's the Supreme Personality, Godhead, but he has hundreds of millions of names. So you can give whatever name you want to give to God, it's the same person, Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive one. He's an individual, and he always remains an individual, and we're individuals, and we always remain individuals. And that's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman Asociati Nakanchati Samasaraishu Bhuteshu Mahabhagatim Lapidate Param. When one comes to the level of Brahman, of realizing that I'm not this body, then he never laments and he's always joyful. And then Krishna says, Sarva Dhamma Priksaja, just surrender unto me, give up all other varieties of religion, and I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all human society so that we'll give up, we'll become free from our sinful activities and become pure devotees and go back to Godhead, not have to take birth again in this material world, and we suffer repeated birth and death. So this is the one of the verses. There are 19 verses which are describing the difference between the body and the soul. So as the embodied soul continues passes in this body, a boy to youth, old age, similarly, soul passes in another body at death, a sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So we'll stop there. Questions, comments? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mantra Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Guru Premanandaya.